This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi al-Ameen, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadiyah. واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It is a blessed night indeed that Allah Azza wa Jal has favored me to be among you in this blessed masjid. For all praise be to Allah Azza wa Jal who facilitated it, because with our own powers and strength this would not have been possible. Our topic is how to reach the peak of Iman. And Iman is very essential. And when we talk about Iman, we don't mean that it is the six pillars of Iman mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel, peace be upon him, which you all know. We talk about Iman in general. The Iman that increases and decreases. And we will get into this point because there are sects and cults in Islam or claiming to be from Islam that claim that Iman does not increase nor decrease. It's the whole package deal. But we, when we look at ourselves, we see our Iman fluctuating, going up and going down. Some days you wake up in the morning and you feel that I can make a difference in this whole world. And sometimes we wake up in the morning doubting, are we hypocrites or not? We look at our prayers, sometimes we are so happy. If someone gives us $1 million, we would not take it in exchange for the happiness we find in our souls of one prayer. And sometimes we pray for days without end and we don't feel any taste of this. So what is happening? What is happening is that we are in this life to be tested. Allah says in the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they will be let alone to say and claim, we believe, our Iman is high, without them being tested? This is not the fact. They will be tested, and Allah Azza wa Jal would know those who are saying the truth through their claims and those who are liars. Therefore, it is extremely essential to work hard on our Iman. Now, to work hard on our Iman does not mean at all that we have to do something out of the ordinary. On the contrary, Islam is how to build your Iman. Islam is based on how to increase your Iman. And does Iman increase and decrease? Yes, it does. And there's no doubt among Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Who differed? The Khawarij and the Murji'ah. Both are opposite sides totally. How is that? Murji'ah say that no matter what sins you do, your Iman is intact. And those sinners, those fornicators, those who consume intoxicants and deal with riba and do heinous things, their Iman is equal to the Iman of Abu Bakr and Umar. A'udhu Billah. How is that? They say because Iman is a package deal. It's full. It's either there or it is not there. And it cannot be not there unless you commit shirk and kufr. But do whatever you want. I remember About 15 years ago, I saw a program on Dubai TV. There was this sheikh, and he was communicating with the youth, and he was listening to what they had to confess. Some of them were saying, I'm sinful, I have a girlfriend. Another one is saying, I have a boyfriend. And the third one says, I don't pray on time. The fourth says, wallah, I have disobeyed my parents, and we're going to hell. And then he comments. He said, all what you have said is rubbish, and I don't like to hear this. Sheikh, mashallah, his beard is quite big. I wish that they got knowledge measured by the length and the size of the beard. I would have been a great scholar of Islam. Anyhow, so he said, listen, either you are not sinful and Allah would admit you to Jannah, or you are sinful and Allah would admit you to Jannah with His forgiveness. And if you have sins and good deeds, they're equal, Allah will admit you to Jannah with the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ. So do whatever you want. What kind of a religion is this? If you open the door and tell the people that whether you're sinful or righteous, you will enter Jannah. What are we doing in the masjid, my friends? It's a Saturday night, or is it Friday? Friday night, we should go to a discotheque or a nightclub and, you know, get wasted, and then enter Jannah after Fajr, inshallah. This is the wrong concept of religion. Now, this is Murji'a. On the other extreme, there is the Khawarij. And the Khawarij say, if you make any major sin, you're kafir. So if you lie, you're kafir. You steal, you're kafir. You're forever in hell. Akhi, tayyib, give us a chance. Said, no chance at all. Why? And they give you quotes from the Quran, which they misunderstood. And they neglect the rest of the Quran, which they do not want to understand. So they're fixed. So why are you doing this? Because Iman is a bulk. If you commit a major sin, this means the whole Iman is not there and you're a kafir. Mu'tazila followed the same footsteps in the hereafter, not in the dunya. In the dunya, they say you are in a place between the two. Not a mu'min, not a kafir. But on the day of judgment, you're in hell forever. So it's the same conclusion. Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. See, this is the benefit of being a follower of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Sheikh, everybody claims nowadays he's from Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Who are they so that we can travel to? Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are anyone in this world who follow the Quran, the Sunnah, with the understanding of the three favored and blessed generations of Islam. So you don't understand the Quran because, wallahi, it looks nice. I think this is the interpretation of the ayah. How do you know? Has anyone from the previous predecessors, Rashid's predecessors, ever said this? No, but I think it's good. You think it's good? What are you? So, through this, we follow the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the companions, generation one. Tabi'een, generation two. The Tabi'at Tabi'een, generation number three. Why do we follow them? Because the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, told us that the best of generations ever to pass on this earth, the best of generations are my generation and the generation that follows and the generation that follows. He told us this, so someone comes after 1,000 years and says, wallahi akhi, I think there has been a mistake. Why? Said, Fajr is 2, Dhuhr is 4, Asr is 4, Isha is 4, only Maghrib is 3. Let's add one rak'ah and make it all even. So what are you doing? He said, it's not mentioned in the Quran how many rak'ahs. So I'm doing ijtihad. You are deviant and you're going to hell because you've changed the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So what does Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah think and believe about Iman? They say it increases and decreases. How? They say it increases with good deeds and decreases with sins. Can you give us examples? Allah mentioned so many places in the Quran, but I'll give you one ayah. Allah says, and whenever a surah is revealed, there are among the hypocrites those who say, which of you has this increased faith? As for those who believed, it has increased them in faith while they are rejoicing. The believers, surahs of the Quran increase their faith and iman. Also the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam in the well-known hadith that belief or iman is 70 plus branches. The highest of these branches is La ilaha illallah. And the lowest is removing harmful objects from people's way, and bashfulness or shyness is a branch of iman. What does it mean, the highest, the lowest? Means that there are categories of iman branches, and if you follow little, your iman is little. If you follow all, your iman is at its peak and you are at the fullest. And also the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us that iman wears off. Iman is worn off. It disappears like a dress or a piece of cloth that loses color, that wears off. You know, when you have a colored cloth and you wash it frequently after 6-7 years, the color fades out. So iman in your heart has the same problem. So what to do? The Prophet ﷺ says, ask Allah to renew iman in your hearts. And we have a problem as such because we work hard on our bank accounts. Ask Allah to increase your bank account. We work hard on our healths and bodies. Ask Allah to increase the size of your biceps and the amount of bench press you can work out. We have problem with the number of wives. Ask Allah to increase your wives, and you get spanked from your wife. Don't ask Allah for that. It was reported that a man was calling for a friend of his who's not married. Said, may Allah Azza wa Jal grant my friend so and so a righteous wife. And he got a punch from his wife. He said, what do you do? He said, I know what your intention is. You know that there's an angel saying, and for you as well. And so you ask, subhanAllah. Sometimes wives are like this. Sometimes, not all the time. A word of advice, don't ever mention any dua for a stranger, for a kafir, about marrying a second wife, or even a first wife, just to be safe. So ask Allah to renew iman in your heart. This is one of the ways of increasing your iman. The companions themselves used to sit with one another. Umar, may Allah please with him, used to tell his companions, come, let us increase in iman. Ibn Mas'ud, he used to also say the same, and he used to often ask Allah in his dua, oh Allah, increase in my iman and in my knowledge. So they're asking Allah for this. Now seriously, do we do this? No, because we take our iman for granted. We think that we have inherited it, and nothing can divert us from our iman. While the facts show that so many Muslims are falling into haram, they're losing their iman, and a small percentage of them are abandoning Islam altogether. Those atheists, those which are very small minority, but it is there. So do not take this for granted, because it is scary. Iman has sweetness. It has a taste. When you eat honey, you find the sweetness of honey. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, he has tasted the sweetness of iman who accepts and who is satisfied with Allah as being his Lord, with Islam as being his religion, with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam as being his prophet and messenger. Reported by Imam Muslim. So if you have this satisfaction, this is translated into a sweetness of iman. How do I have it? by your conviction. You don't have any doubts. Those who have doubts will never ever find the taste of Iman. So they said, Allah is there or not? Allah, I'm not sure. You're not sure? You'll find the answer in your grave. When the angels come to you and with a big stick in their hand, turn you into a pile of sand. Who's your Lord? Oh, I don't know. People said, it's Allah. I said, it's Allah. What's your religion? I don't know. Who's your messenger? I don't know. But those who are satisfied, when they hit the adhan, they answer it, and then they say this dua, رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّنَا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولًا صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then they will get Allah's forgiveness for their sins, and they will find the sweetness of Iman in their heart. However, the sweetness of Iman is not something you can buy. It is not something that you can beg for or be awarded as a gift. It is something that you have to work hard to achieve, and you have to be blessed by Allah. Some of us work really hard. Allah says, وُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. Allah in Surah Al-Ghashiyah talks about faces that are submissive. Some scholars say that this is in terms of the kuffar. And this is why Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, when he passed by an old Jew who's just about to die, so old, he cried. And he said, look at this poor thing. His face is submissive. He works, amila. He works and he gets tired. At the end, he goes where? To hellfire. Other scholars say that this is in those who innovate, who make things in religion, which is not part of the sunnah. They work hard. I've seen a video of, you've seen this, of some of the Muslims, may Allah guide them, that they make dhikr by swirling like a fan in the masjid. And they're doing it in a crazy way. What are they doing? They think that they're worshipping Allah, but like this. This is part that fits the ayah. So, you cannot beg or attain it from your own self. You have to be blessed by Allah Azza wa Jal to guide you. Because what we are in at the moment is Allah's guidance. We could have been somewhere else. We could have been following another cult or sect or doing haram or innovation. But Allah favored us from all the people that we know to be following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this sweetness of Iman is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Some of the scholars say, after feeling and tasting it, he says, wallahi, if the kings and the sons of kings knew the pleasure we are in, they would have fought us with the swords. They would not let us enjoy it. They want to take it away from us. And some say, how this happens when we pass by and drive by big mansions and palaces and see people driving fancy cars. Some of us may feel heartbroken. Oh, I wish I had this. And some of us would think and convey his gratitude to Allah by saying, Allahumma lakal hamd. These people do not even know Allah. They cannot taste the beauty of praying Fajr at 3:30 or 3:45 or 4 o'clock. Who would wake up at this time? Only those who have tasted the sweetness of Iman. The rest will continue to sleep. And the first week, first month, the second year, they're just sleeping. Akhi, you're a believer. Where are your Fajr? Wallahi, akhi, it's too early. But you want to go to Jannah? Yes, inshallah, in the first row. Maybe before the Prophet, maybe after. How will you do this? I mean, you're not working hard. I have wasta. Subhanallah. This is problematic. Now, in order to attain and achieve the peak of Iman, you have to work your way from down to up. And there are so many ways. And by the way, the fluctuation of Iman is not for you and me only, even for the companions. Sahih al-Imam Muslim, Abu Hurairah says, may Allah be pleased with him, that Abu Bakr met a companion called Hanzala. So he said, Hanzala, how are you? Hanzala said, Nafaqa Hanzala. Hanzala has become a hypocrite. Abu Bakr was shocked. How can you say such a thing and you're the companion of the Prophet? He said, Akhi, when I'm with the Prophet والسلام, and he reminds us of heaven and hell, we feel like we are in a different world. The moment we leave the Prophet والسلام, and we go to our houses, we sit with our wives and children and in our farms, we forget a lot. Abu Bakr scratched his head and said, Wallahi, I feel the same way. There is a problem in your iman and my iman. Let's go and check the doctor who knows the medicine for our hearts. So they go to the Prophet ﷺ. And this is Sahih Muslim, highest degree of authenticity. And the Prophet said, what brings you here? And Abu Bakr says, the Prophet of Allah listened to Hanbala. So Hanbala, what do you have? He said, oh Prophet of Allah. And he repeated the same message, that I have become a hypocrite because of this and this and this. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if you were with your wives, children, and businesses, like you are here with me, when I remind you, and you are engaged in dhikr, by Allah, the angels would descend and would shake hands with you in broad daylight in front of all the people. Because you would have reached a level of iman that is second to none. But this is not possible. The Prophet said, Ashraf, and therefore, O Hanzala, sa'a wa sa'a. Yani an hour for remembering Allah, for dhikr, for engaging in this high caliber, this high voltage of iman. But there has to be another sa'a, another hour, where you attain worldly matters. You have to work for your bread and for your family. You have to sit with them. So this problem we are suffering from, it is normal. However, we have to do our level best to increase it. So how can we increase our iman? You remember the first hadith I mentioned? Iman is 70 plus branches. So the logical thing is to attain these 70 plus branches. However, the scholars differed in mentioning them and specifying them, because there is not a single hadith that says 1, 2, 3, 4, 70, so. So they tried their level best. First of all, they categorized these branches into acts of the heart, acts of the tongue, acts of the body. So first of all, the acts of the heart. You want to attain iman, they say you have to believe in Allah. And this requires a workshop, not a lecture. What do we mean by believe in Allah? Believe in the Tawheed, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Lordship, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed of Worship, and Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat, the Tawheed of Allah's beautiful names and attributes, and their divisions, and their counterparts, the things that go against them. To believe in Allah Azza wa Jal also requires you believe in the other five pillars of Iman, which is to believe in His angels, His books, in the messengers, in the destiny, and in the day of judgment. And belief in the day of judgment includes what? The grave, the beginning, huh? The grave, then the day of judgment itself, then the sirat, the mizan, the scale, the sirat, the straight path, the heaven, the hell. All of this is beyond imagination. The belief in it increases your iman. When you know that there is a scale that would not let away an ant weight of good or bad, you think twice before you do something bad. You think twice before not doing something good. Because you know that this will come in your scale on the day of judgment. And so on. Part of the acts of the heart, loving for the sake of Allah, hating for the sake of Allah. You have to hate for the sake of Allah. And you have to love for the sake of Allah. My brother who comes and prays with me, I love him for the sake of Allah. The Muslim brother who drinks and fornicates, I hate his actions for the sake of Allah. Not because he is local or an expat. Likewise, when I hate the disbelievers, not because they have blonde and blue eyes, but because their action and belief is kufr. If they come to Islam, immediately I will love them for the sake of Allah. Also, the issue of loving the Prophet ﷺ, praising him, mentioning him, offering salutation, all of these are in the heart. When you love the Prophet ﷺ, if someone comes, how do you know? If someone comes to you and tells you, Akhi, don't do this. You say, why? He tells you because the Prophet ﷺ said not to do it. If you have love in your heart, you immediately implement. If you don't have love in your heart, you say, this gesture itself shows you have no iman. I'm telling you, the Prophet says, and you say, or I know a sheikh says otherwise. Subhanallah. So all of this interprets what your iman level is. Also, in your heart is sincerity. Why do I pray? For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Who knows this? It's in the heart. Your sincerity. Your repentance, it's in your heart. Your fear of Allah, hoping in what Allah has promised us in Jannah. Your gratitude and shukr, being thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal. Your patience, your acceptance to Allah's decree. My son is sick. How do I act? I bang my head in the wall. Why me? My neighbor doesn't have any problems like this. I pray for you. I visited once an uncle. He was over 70 years of age. He was very sick. Well, this is a true story. I'm not reading this. He's a relative of mine. May Allah have mercy on him. So I visited him. So uncle, be patient. Allah reward you. So. He said, my son, I have no complaints. Not whatsoever. Except that this masjid, I've been praying in it 5 times a day for the past 35 or 40 years. And look how sick I am. While my neighbor has not prayed a single prayer and he is as strong as a bull. And I said, Astaghfirullah, my uncle, you have erased your 40 years of ibadah. Why? Because there is no sincerity, there is no appreciation, there is no contempt of Allah's decree. So many people, when they are fine, their salary comes on time, their wife is pleasant and not nagging, mashallah, they're very happy. The minute something changes, Allahu Akbar. And this shows you that we have a problem in our heart, not in our bank accounts. Maybe we do. Not in our wives. Definitely we do. But we do have a problem in the way we consider how Allah is treating us. Allah is so generous with us. If you lose your wallet, how do you feel? 5-6 years ago on the first day of Ramadan, I went to break my fast of the first day of Ramadan. Prayed Maghrib, went out, and my wallet is gone. With all my IDs, with my money, but luckily I paid the hotel in advance, otherwise I would have been in trouble. How do you feel? Wallahi, I felt Alhamdulillah. I said Alhamdulillah. And everything came back normal. After 1 month, I couldn't find anything. I got the driving license, the ID, the credit cards, the bank accounts, mashallah, and all the millions were saved and intact. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. How do you feel if you miss Fajr of today and you did not pray? Oh, I feel horrible, Sheikh. How do you feel if you're leaving your office and there's a flat tire? Which is worse? No, Fajr is... No, Allah, flat tire is worse. Fajr I can miss for 1 week or 2 weeks. Sheikh, it's hot in summer. And the flat tire would mean that I have to work and sweat. Fajr, Allah Kareem. There is a problem in prioritizing things in how we deal with Allah Azza wa Jal. Now when it comes, and there are so many things of the heart, this is not the time to mention it. When it comes to the tongue, scholars say that saying shahada, saying the kalima, okay, reciting the Quran, learning knowledge like we're doing now, teaching it like I'm doing it now, making dua, making dhikr. All of this is happening with the tongue corresponding to the heart, but mainly speaking, you have to speak it out. When it comes to the body, there is almost 38 branches, and it will take us for the rest of the night, and this is not why we are here. This is a warm-up for the lecture. This is not the lecture. This is just a warm-up to how to increase our iman. So we go to the means of increasing our iman. How do we increase our iman? How do we reach the peak? There are so many things listed by scholars. I'll mention a few, because if we manage to implement this few, we are winners. And if we mention all of these and not implement one, we are losers, wasting our time. So the first thing, the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, سَلُوا اللَّهَ أَن يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Ask Allah to renew iman in your heart. In your sujood, ask Allah, oh Allah, increase my iman. Oh Allah, make my heart steadfast on Islam. You have to ask Allah. If you don't ask Allah, if you feel that you are independent, then you have a big problem in Tawheed. In the corporate where I used to work tens of years ago, whenever we, the board, the CEO, the GMs, directors, we have our annual meeting, we talk about our forecast. We talk about our achievements. So in a PowerPoint, I managed to do this and to achieve my targets, exceeding it by 55%, and I will do this in the future. My vision is to do this and this. All of this is shirk. You know that? Because I'm not attributing it to Allah Azza wa Jalla, I'm attributing it to myself. When my child falls sick, what do? Doctor, save my child. Cure my child. I give him medicine, I try to treat him. After I finish everything, I say, let me do ruqya. Let me ask Allah. You have a problem. Because you got things reversed. You do not do anything without attributing it to Allah. Okay. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, said, whoever says that had it not been to the duck of my neighbor, the burglar would have broken into my home and robbed me. What is the situation? A person sleeping in his home, a burglar wanted to break in, the duck of the neighbor started quacking. The burglar felt scared, he ran away. So now he's attributing not being robbed to the duck. Where he should have, Ibn Abbas says, whoever says this, he has committed shirk. Had Ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet. So we have a problem. First of all, we must be dependent 100% on Allah Azza wa Jalla. In every single thing, you want to go for work, you have trust and tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jalla. You want to do something, ask Allah. In your sujood, oh Allah, make my son pass the examination. Oh Allah, pay off my debts. Oh Allah, I need to be guided. When I come and make muhadara, do I depend on my muscles? I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla sincerely, oh Allah, prevent me from doing a mistake. And expand my heart and let my tongue say the right thing that you are pleased with. Because no matter how knowledge you have, without depending on Allah Azza wa Jalla, you are the poorest person on earth. You need Allah Azza wa Jalla. He doesn't need you. The moment you feel that you are independent, or you're strong, or I can do this on my own, you are a failure. The more you are dependent on Allah, the higher your iman goes up. And this was found with the old folks. The new generation don't have this. The old folks, the old geezers, believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla. The Bedouins, when they told them, the Brits are coming to invade you. Said, no problem. They said, they have airplanes that fly and throw bombs. And the Bedouins say, airplanes fly? Who's above the other? Allah or the planes? So they said, Allah said, Allah will suffice us. This is how you trust Allah Azza wa Jal. Not to put obstacles and obstacles and obstacles, and then you find that you are not dependent on Allah Azza wa Jal. So, asking Allah Azza wa Jal. Number two, in order to increase Iman, follow the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. 13 years in Mecca, what was he doing? No fighting, no jihad, no prayer, no zakat, no fasting. What were they doing? Playing around, a'udhu billah. They were in the best form of Iman. How? They had the Quran being revealed to them, to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibn Mas'ud and other companions say that we used to learn 10 verses of the Quran. We would not learn anything else until we memorize them, understand them, implement them, then move on. And this is problematic nowadays because we are so ignorant of Quran. We know everything, and we will come to talk about Quran later on, but let us talk about it now. Let us see how much we know of the Quran compared to what we know about the players in Barcelona or in the Real Madrid. We know the bench, those who are in the bench, on the reserve. We know the results of last year, 2015 and 2000 and before that. We know everything because we have great love for that. But if you come to the Quran, Akhi, how much do you memorize in the Quran? Alhamdulillah, the last 3 chapters. I know 3 chapters of the 114. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَبَّرُ الْخَلَقُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Yes, and I recite in every single salah. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ. What does it mean? I don't know. But I recite it. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. What is الصَّمَدُ? I don't know, but I know somebody. He sells sweets and it's a good shop. Subhanallah. Then what is your problem? Your problem is that Allah's word, the most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, it is what came out of Him, which is Allah's own speech, and it will return back to Him. This is what we should spend time. Ibn Abbas, Ibn al-Qayyim, a great number of scholars used to say, by Allah, to recite one ayah with contemplation, understanding, and belief is more beloved to me than reciting the full Quran. How many times have we finished the Quran? I know that among you, mashallah, like the majority of Muslims, finish the Quran once every month. This is the minimum. Most of us do this, if not all, inshallah. I see people laughing. I don't know why you're laughing. Am I saying something wrong? This is a message, right? We do this. The Prophet told Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, who had a problem. What was his problem? He used to finish the Quran once every night. That's a problem? Yes. The Prophet said, don't do this. Finish the Quran once a month. This is the minimum. He said, I can do more. Once every 20 days. I can do more. Once every 10 days. I can do more. Once every week, and don't do it. In another narration, once every 3 days, and don't do it less than that. So we have to finish it once a month, but when we finish it, do we know what we're reading? Or we're just doing the homework, finished class. What did you read? Well, I don't know. What surah? I have to check. You know what, you just read it. No, I forgot. Then you did not read. Mother Aisha used to pray night prayer with one ayah, repeating it, and she weeps and cries for one ayah. What has she done? This is belief. If you have this while reciting the Quran, you're in good hands. If you don't, you have a problem. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, indeed, those who recite the Book of Allah and establish prayer and spend in His cause out of what we have provided them, secretly and publicly, can expect a prophet that will never perish. So the first thing that Allah started before Salah, the reciting of the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ. First, you have to recite the Quran. This is what the companions used to do in Mecca, 13 years. And this is why after Hijrah, whenever there was a problem, the Prophet used to refer to them. They were there, they were his rock. Meaning that in Hunayn, when they all fled away, he ordered the Abbas, call the Ansar and the Muhajireen. First of all, call the Muhajireen. They immediately came back. These are the people that the Prophet ﷺ hand-picked them one by one and raised them accordingly. Secondly, or thirdly, in order to increase your iman, you must take real good care of your fara'id, of your obligatory forms of worship, and complete and fulfill that with the voluntary. It is needless to say that when you have a problem with fariba, then you have a problem in your iman. You may find someone praying taraweeh, a night prayer, and weeping and crying, and skipping fajr. Or in Ramadan, they skip what? Asr. Because Asr, I don't know, what's your working hours in Kuwait? 10? 9. So they delay it by 2 hours, like Saudi. This is the worst thing that could happen. When we give the people the excuse to consider Ramadan to be a month of laziness and sleeping, and it should be a month of agility and power and strength. Begin your working hours from 6:30 after Fajr and finish it at 11 or before Dhuhr. Act normally. But when you ask the people and the students if they have school to come at 10 o'clock, I taught in high and public high schools in Saudi Arabia for 15 years. At 10 o'clock we used to begin the first class, the first session, with the teacher putting his head on the desk and the rest of the students following suit. Alhamdulillah, we had strong bells. So whenever it rings, we wake up and we move to the second class and we continue our session. This is not the right way of doing it. We are giving the wrong impression about Ramadan. Fariḍah is the most ultimate thing. Listen to this hadith. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah the Almighty says, whosoever shows enmity to someone devoted to me, I shall be at war with him. If you express your enmity to someone who's devoted to Allah, to a wali of Allah, Allah will be at war with you. Then Allah says, my slave draws not near to me with anything more love to me than the religious duties I have enjoined upon him. So the most beloved things to Allah Azza wa Jal are the things that Allah enjoined upon you. Fajr prayer. And this is why when the nomad came to the Prophet and said, what did Allah enjoin upon me? He said, pray 5 times a day. He said, anything else? He said, no, unless you want to offer voluntary. He said, wallahi, I will not increase a single thing. The Prophet said, he will enter Jannah. So what Allah enjoined upon you is the most beloved to Allah, and it draws you closer to Allah. Then the Prophet, then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and my slave continues to draw near to me with voluntary words. Now let me try to say this, and I don't know if I'm going to read it or not. Supererogatory words. Is it right? Well, I don't know. Okay. So it's voluntary. It's a very long word, and I'm too old to read this part. And it says, so that I shall love him. The more you offer of voluntary deeds, the more Allah loves you. After establishing what? The fariḍah. If you do voluntary deeds without the fariḍah, Allah will not accept it. So essentially, just do the fariḍah. I've managed to do that. Now add as many voluntary words as you shall. Because when I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes, and his foot with which he walks. Were he to ask something of me, I would surely give it to him. And were he to ask me for refuge, I'd surely grant him it. So, you want to increase your iman? Observe the fariḍah. And you try this, because so many people try it. Whenever the adhan is called, come to the masjid. Say, do we do this? No, no, there's 15 minutes before iqama. No, there's 5 minutes before iqama. There's 1 minute before iqama. I think I can teach before the imam goes to the first rak'ah. I think we can manage to the third or fourth. I think we can manage the tashahhud. I think we can manage the second jama'ah. And now, third jama'ah. And later, fourth jama'ah. Fourth jama'ah was established in this masjid while I was here. So these people keep on delaying and delaying and delaying until they do not fulfill this hadith by getting nearer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Fourthly, among the things that would get your iman boosted is dhikr. To remember Allah Azza wa Jalla. And dhikr does not mean that you say, Allah hay, Allah hay, nakul kibbe wa nishrab mai. You know that people, there's a dhikr doing this. This is Stevie Wonder. No, this is not the case. Dhikr is in the heart. You can move your lips and no one knows you, but you're growing in iman by just remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla. I remember one of the shuyukh years ago, he was leading us in Asr. Asr. And he was weeping like a baby. Asr! And he's crying, and you can hear that of him. What kind of iman is this? When you pray in Asr, wallah, Shaykh, I don't cry except when I pray behind the Shaykh Sudais in Haram. Then you're not praying because of, you're not crying because of Allah Azza wa Jalla, because the voice is nice or because the location is making you cry. That is why among those who will be saved on the Day of Judgment and be shadowed in the shade of Allah Azza wa Jalla is a person who mentions Allah alone. Now, when was the last time you prayed alone in your room, night prayer, or made dhikr on your own and you saw a tear coming out? We have a problem. So dhikr is essential. The more you make dhikr and remember Allah, what do you mean by dhikr? I made a couple of weeks ago in Nairobi, Kenya. Beautiful place, beautiful weather, you should go there. I made a full lecture on dhikr and dua. And I benefited a lot from it, because when you do a structured lecture, you have to research a lot. And then you find out things you did not know. So, I think it's on my, I posted it on my YouTube a couple of days ago. You can watch it for free. You can make dua. I'll charge you for that as much, inshallah. Dhikr is a broad term that includes your prayer, your recitation of the Quran, whatever good deeds, fasting, hajj, it's part of dhikr. But what we know that dhikr is something that you do with your tongue or with your heart. When you keep your mouth shut and your lips sealed, the dhikr is not counted. I've seen so many brothers in here and elsewhere. When they pray, they say, Allahu Akbar. I'm reading Fatiha. I said, Ameen. I'm reading Surah. Their prayer is invalid. Their prayer is invalid. When you sit in the masjid reading, mashallah, one juzuk or two juzuk, and you're like this, you're scanning it with your eyes, your prayer is not rewarded. I used to do this a few years ago. And then I was told this is not permissible. And I got crazy. And I said, no way. He said, no, you're not rewarded. I spent so many hours researching all the books and references that I have, just to see one single scholar saying that it's valid. All books of fiqh. I spoke to Sheikh bin Baz, bin Uthaymeen, on the phone, and great scholars of Islam. Not a single one said, it's okay. And you must move your lips, and it's silent. But you have to say, you must, or it will not be counted. So watch the video, maybe you will like it. So dhikr is very important. You walk from here to the car. What do? I sing songs. I remember things. No, say the most beloved dhikr to Allah. Say it. Now, memorize it. It's very difficult, but memorize it. The most preferred and beloved dhikr to Allah you can ever say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allah Akbar, La ilaha illallah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It's very difficult. You can write it down if you wish. Ishhad, Allah loves the most. How many times do you say it a day? Allah, we don't say it. How many times do you seek Allah's forgiveness? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Shaykh, I need a job. Shaykh, I need a wife. Don't say this, edit it. You don't need a wife. Be happy with what you have. Shaykh, I need wealth, I need rain, I need this, I need that. Allah says in Surah Nuh, استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفار يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين. All of this comes from seeking Allah's forgiveness. So constantly during the day and night say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, and repeat it endlessly, and you will find the blessings of Allah open to you. So dhikr is important. The Prophet said, and listen to this one hadith, well I'll make it too. The Prophet said alayhi salam, whoever fails to pray night prayer, he goes to sleep, he doesn't pray. And whoever is stingy, that he does not spend money in the cause of Allah. And whoever is a coward, that he does not make jihad, in this case, he must make dhikr plenty of Allah. He must make a lot of dhikr of Allah. If you fail to pray night prayer, to give money for sadaqah and to make jihad, then do not leave making dhikr a lot. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the last advice I got from the Prophet ﷺ was when I asked him, what is the most beloved deeds to Allah? This is the last thing I've heard from the Prophet. Then he died. The Prophet said ﷺ that you die while your tongue is moist with dhikr Allah. This is the most beloved deeds. If you don't work, no pain, no gain. If you don't train to remember Allah Azza wa Jal, you cannot come moments before you die and say, I will start making dhikr. Khalas, it's over. But if you live on remembering Allah, when you die on remembering Allah. See, it's like brainwash, but in a positive sense. If you watch movies, TV series, listen to music that has only songs that have only curse words, when a 16-wheeler comes to hit you while you're driving and you know you are going to die, what the F? And you die. Because this is what you hear and you repeat. But if you make dhikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah, and you see this and you're going to die, you say, la ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah. And this is the last thing you say. So this is why dhikr is so important for us. And how much time do we have, Yashir?
5 minutes.
Wallahi.
Are you okay with more time?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Bismillah. Okay. There is a very important concept here. Now, what is more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla? Reciting the Quran, making dhikr, or making dua? Yo, the floor is open. Dhikr. Don't be ashamed, yani. We're just asking. So definitely we'll have three opinions. Dua. Quran. So three opinions. Dua. Okay. No, this is out of scope. I said three. Dhikr, dua, Quran. Fajr? This is not one of them. So, okay. All three. See, Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on his soul, draws our attention to a problem. People are divided into two types. Habitual worshippers, meaning that they worship according to their habit, and worshippers according to Allah's desire. So what do you mean, Ishaq? Explain a little bit more. I'll tell you. Most of us are accustomed to a habit or a routine in our forms of worship. We would never ever allow anyone to divert us from it, even if he's diverting us to something that is more important, because we are putting blindfolds and we're like horse racing. You know, when they put these side things, they don't see anything except what's in front of them. They fail to see what's around them. This is what we do. So if it is time to fast Mondays and Thursdays, I will never break Mondays and Thursdays, no matter what happens. If my father tells me, eat, I love you to eat, I said, no. If my work demands me to break my fast because it's better for the passengers I'm flying or for the patient I'm opening his guts, he said, no, I have to fast. This is a problem in priority. While those who worship Allah according to what Allah desires, they're flexible. Allah loves this, I will go. Allah loves this more, I will go. Why do we give this example? Quran is the most beloved thing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, but it cannot be read in places where it is forbidden. For example, I'm in Rukur. What is better, to recite the Quran or to say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim? Definitely Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. If I recite the Quran, I'm sinful, because the Prophet told me not to recite the Quran. I always thought that the Quran was better. It is better, generally speaking. But when it comes to be implemented in a place that it is not required to, then no. After Salat is finished, Dua, Dhikr, or Quran, no Dhikr. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. My son is sick, and I would like to ask Allah for cure and healing. Better or Dhikr? So no, I'm not asking Allah for healing. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. No, Dua is better. So each location, each position has a priority. Once you understand this, then you can utilize. It is the 27th of Ramadan. It is time for Taraweeh or Tahajjud prayer. My mom says, let's go and visit your uncle. It is Silat of Rahim. It is connecting to your next of kin. What is more in weight? No, Allah, mom, going to Taraweeh and getting the chance of night prayer, a night of decree, maybe Laylatul Qadr, is more valuable to Allah Azza wa Jal than connecting the next of kin. And I can connect my uncle later on, tomorrow, the day after Eid. It's there, it's not gonna go, it's not gonna leave. So you have to know and evaluate. So we have, I'll just list it quickly. Among the things that would increase your iman to contemplate in Allah's favors upon you. When you see someone smoking in the street, what do? May Allah curse him. May Allah Azza wa Jalla destroy him. May Allah give him cancer and high blood pressure and blockage in the arteries and diabetes. And from me, take a coat. Yep. This is extra bonus. The Prophet said, whenever you see, alayhi salam, see someone who was or is tested by a calamity, whether he's sick or he has a sin, you say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi afani mimma btalahu bihi wa faddalani ala kathiri mimman khalaqa tafdila. This dua you say, not only when you see someone who's sick, you praise Allah that he granted you health or granted you safety from such a sin and favored you upon so many people. Do you feel like this? Do you feel like you're blessed and favored? Or whenever you're driving your beautiful Camry 2018, full option with the navigation, and you see a Porsche 911 GTS4 passing through, you said, Allah didn't bless me. Don't say this, because even the driver of the Porsche GTS4 doing so much acceleration says the same thing when he sees a Veyron coming next to him, Bugatti. And even the Bugatti owner says the same thing when he sees his neighbor flying his G4 to Paris to have croissant. And even the one with the G4 going to Paris for croissant feels sorry when he sees Air Force One. It goes on and on. If you don't have contempt, if you don't have the gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jalla over the little things that so many people are deprived of, then you will never ever increase in iman. But the more you see things and you relate it to yourself and say, Alhamdulillah, I have my feet to walk on. People may be paralyzed. I have my health. I have my wife. Maybe this is not a blessing, but yeah, Alhamdulillah, it's an effort. I have my children. I have this. I have that. Wallahi, we have so many things that we are ungrateful. The more you contemplate, the more your iman goes skyrocket high. When you are appreciative, when you are content with Allah, what has given you. Among the things that would increase your iman, and this is a well-known fact to most of you, night prayer. When everybody's asleep and you wake up, make wudu. And I've tried this. The Prophet said, also, whoever wakes up in the middle of the night, and he says, La ilaha illallah, la sharika lahu, mulkul hamdu wa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allah akbar, la ilaha illallah, la quwwata illa billah. And then asks, Allah will answer his. So many times I've underwent calamities, problems in life. And I keep on waking at a specific time in the middle of the night. The first thing I say is this dua. And then I ask Allah to relieve me from my calamity. Wallahi, it's just like this. Oh, Shaykh, you're a righteous person. No, Allah, you don't know me. I know you. I know me very well. It has nothing to do with how good or bad. It has to do with the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you wake up. It took me almost 3 months to manage it, by the way. Every time I wake up, I end up finding myself in the toilet, looking in the mirror. I did not say the dua. Yalla, tomorrow inshallah. 3 months until I got it into my system. Once I got it into my system, wallahi, the first thing I wake up, I make a list of dua. List, a long list. For Allah to cure people, for Allah to do this, for Allah to do that. And I do it with conviction that Allah will respond. And will, alhamdulillah, Azim Allah does. So you have to appreciate night prayer. The Prophet says, alayhi salam, sharaful mu'min qiyamuhu billayl. The honor of a believer is night prayer. And Imam Ahmad was told, this person does not pray night prayer. He said, he's an evil one. A believer and doesn't pray night prayer. This is the thing that the Prophet had never left, alayhi salatu wasalam. And even if he overslept or was sick, he would make it up in duha time. Instead of 11, he would pray 12 rak'ahs. So this is something that would, yeah, definitely boast and increase your iman way up. Of course, this adds more value when you stand in contemplation, concentration, knowing what you're reciting, when you show and express your submissiveness in sujood. There's no one running after you. There's no one behind you. There's no one timing you. Because I've noticed it in myself, when I pray on my own, I do this from 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. But if I'm praying in the masjid, it takes me half an hour, mashallah, khushu', people are watching. No, when you pray night prayer, always remember that Allah is watching and Allah is accepting you. So when you do this, the first thing you do in Qiyam al-Layl is what? Brushing your teeth. What? I'm not going to kiss my wife. No, you're not going to kiss your wife. But the Prophet tells us, as Islam, that you should begin with miswak when you wake up for night prayer. Why? The Prophet tells us that there's an angel that approaches you while reading the Quran and he puts his mouth on your mouth, and whatever comes out of your mouth enters him. How would you pray night prayer, inshallah, tonight? When you have this concept and you say, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And you imagine that there's an angel coming and receiving what you are reciting of the Quran. Would you be distracted? No, you won't. Try it. And you will find that your iman is being boosted. Among the things that increase your iman is when you visit the sick people. When you appreciate those who are bedridden, whether in a hospital or a relative, when you see them in agony and in their pain, and you make dua for them, you feel your heart is softened. This is normal. Unnormal is that when you go, ha ha, look at you, you're sick, you're gonna die soon. This is sick. No, normally, whenever you see people in pain and agony, sometimes we get clips of atrocities here and there. I cannot see them. Not because I'm afraid of blood or I have a weak heart, but I cannot see people suffering. It kills me. So I decide not to watch these things. And visiting sick people, there is a vast amount of reward. And I can tell you the hadith, but this would take us endlessly to nowhere. So much reward in visiting the sick people that we should think and consider. Among the things that increase in our iman is thinking about death. Visiting graveyards. Contemplating on those buried in it. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, I used to forbid you from visiting the graves. Now, I'm ordering you to visit them because it reminds you of the hereafter. Wallahi, whenever I enter a grave, I cannot hear a thing. It's so quiet. And I contemplate how many kings, how many ministers, how many CEOs, how many actors and actresses, how many wealthy billionaires, what have they gained? Nothing. And then I think of myself, I'll be next. What do I have? Nothing. So I remember, okay, now I have to shape up. I have to do something. I'm still walking. Tomorrow, I'll be carried into a graveyard or a cemetery rather than walk into it. So whenever you remember death, your iman increases. Because it gives you a reminder that, listen, I'm going to die soon. Most of us, if not all, don't think like this. Ah, Sheikh, how old are you?
I'm 95 years old.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So, how long will you live?
I think, hopefully, another 800 years.
Oof.
Yes, I heard that Noah lived 950 years. So, I'm hoping. No one feels that he's going to die tomorrow.
And the more you get older, the more your roots are fixed in the ground. When we were young, we used to drive recklessly, like crazy maniacs. We used to not fear death, no matter what happens. I'm going to do this, I'm strong. The more you get older, you get closer to the wheel, you put on your seatbelts and the passenger seatbelt again, just in case, you know, and you drive, you know, like 20, 30 kilometers per hour, and you don't want to look sideways because people will point fingers at you or say things. Khalas, you want to be safe. You want to live more. When you think of death positively, as we mentioned in today's khutbah, if you were there, when you think positively of death, you think that it is your way out. So you start doing good things, you start avoiding haram, you start avoiding lying or backbiting or evil things, and you're expecting it to come. If you are in a calamity, once you remember death, you find that this calamity is not serious. If you are in prosperity and wealth, and you're happy and you're arrogant, once you remember death, you become small and say, Wallah, I have a problem. All of this I'm going to be held accountable for. Let me spend something in the cause of Allah. Let me help poor people. Let me do this and that. So remembering death is very beneficial. Among the things that may increase your iman is this. Circles of knowledge. And this is noticeable. The more you attend circles of knowledge, the more your iman is elevated. Why? Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That no one among Allah's servants fear Allah more than the scholars. Which means that the more you learn, the more fear of Allah you gain, and the more iman you get increased in your heart. Also, sitting with righteous people. When you sit with righteous people, you will inevitably gain benefit.
If I sit with the sheriff, he's righteous, God-fearing, do you think we're going to talk about real estates and buying property or stock market? No. He would tell me a hadith. He would tell me, I read this ayah, akhi, so beautiful. And this is the righteous, this is how righteous people talk when they meet. They don't talk about nothing. They focus on what gets them closer to Allah. Akhi, I have a widow I know that needs money for medicine for her children. Akhi, we know this refugee camp in so-and-so. Akhi, there is a lecture in Masjid in Fanbas. What? This? Fanbas. Beautiful name. I don't know what it means. The Arabs make fun of it, but this is beside the point. So we have this, we have that. And you get more and more iman building up in your heart. And on the contrary, also you have to avoid bad company. You have to avoid sinful people and places of sin, because this decreases your iman drastically. Wallahi, one soap opera, half an hour, or one movie. I was in London once, and the brother who was taking me from the airport to my accommodation, who they were arranging a conference. And we passed by so many billboards, and I looked at one. I said, I was reading, it takes me a lot of time to read English. I don't read English. So I said, Sheikh, look at this movie, wallah, it's hilarious. Haven't you seen it? Hangover. I was looking at the, you know, they drive on the right. So I was looking at the brother. I said, what are you talking about? He said, haram. Oh, he said, yes, Sheikh.
Astaghfirullah. And move on. We have split personalities. We think that we can come to a lecture to increase our iman and go back and watch a movie or listen to music or free mix or do haram things. Why are you doing this? Akhi, I have credit. Akhi, this is not a mobile company. You have credit. Yes, I made Umrah. So this gives me credit to sin. I have, alhamdulillah, 6 month credit. I can sin. Then I will make another Umrah. You're recharging your mobile, you're recharging your email. There's nothing as this. The more you watch haram, the more iman decreases until you do not notice it. Until you are so engaged in sin that you make sin and why are you looking at me? There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. You don't recognize that you are falling into sin. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the highest person in iman. Who is he? Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. Subhanallah, when we read the Quran, this ayah, we read it every single Friday. And it is mind-blowing. This is an instruction and a command to the Prophet alayhi salam and to us as well. Allah says, and keep yourself patiently by being with those who call upon their Lord in the morning and the evening, seeking His countenance. The Arabic is seeking His face. So that Allah has a face. Translating it into countenance, this is problematic when it comes to attributes of Allah. It should be translated as it is. But, and let not your eyes, this is to the Prophet, and let not your eyes pass beyond them, desiring adornments of the worldly life. And do not obey one whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, and who follows his desire, and whose affairs or whose affair is ever in neglect. We are totally opposite to this verse. Who do we associate ourselves with? With mutawwi's? No. Why? Ya akhi, mutawwi', whenever I sit with them, they scare the hell out of me. They're hellfire, you're going to die, you're going to hell, you're sinful, you're bad, you're a hypocrite, you're evil. I hate myself, I want to come out of my clothes whenever I sit with them. But when I sit with my friend so-and-so, Allahu Akbar, he makes my head explode of laughter. He cracks jokes, and the best time is when he talks about dirty. You know, jokes below the belt. Oh, he's hilarious. I love to sit with him. Allah says, wasbir nafsak. Keep yourself patient by being with those
who call upon their Lord in the morning, in the evening, seeking His face. And do not exceed the way you look. Don't look elsewhere. And this is what we're doing. Even in Salat, there was a colleague of mine who used to pray. And once his mobile rang. So he took his mobile in Salat. He did this. Wallah, he did this. And then he said, he texted during Dhuhr Salah. Text. And when I finished, he said, what were you doing? I said, I was confused and I had to. And some of the scholars say that if it's going to distract you in Salah, you have to attend it. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Why did you attend it by verbal? He said, Assalamu alaikum, Jazam Salah, Allahu Akbar. We have a problem. We look everywhere, but not to Salat. Not to what Allah Azza wa Jal wants. And before the last, we have one of the things that increase your iman is when you attend people's needs. See, among those best in iman, those who do charity. And I know people who are not very much practicing, but mashallah, in secret, they know 60, 70 homes. They bring them flour, they bring them milk, they bring them frying oil every single couple of weeks, secretly. And they collect and they say, wallahi, I know someone who has chemotherapy and cannot afford it. I have this, I have that. A friend of mine, a neighbor, his wife was struck by cancer. And the people in Saudi Arabia told her, she's a hopeless case. Why, wallahi, doctors told him, your wife is dead. Why are you bringing her? So he took her to somewhere else and started treatment of in Europe. And mashallah, this has been for 2.5 years. And she's improving, but ups and downs. The guy is not practicing. He came to my house. Sheikh Asim, do you have people that need help? I told him, wallahi, personally, I do not accept any charity. And no one, because I'm an imam of a masjid. Imagine the amount of people coming to me from all different parts of Jeddah asking for, and I cannot verify. I don't have the time to cross-check anyone who comes to me. This is a sheikh, I have a hearing problem. Okay, what's wrong with your eyes? Oh, this is a different problem, sheikh. I don't have time to verify this. So I told him, but my wife does. My wife has enough time to check with these immigrants, with so on. So he immediately took from his pocket 100,000 riyals. He's not a Saudi, by the way. 100,000 riyals, how much is that? About 9,000 KDs. Huh? He said, give this in charity. May Allah Azza wa Jal help. And a week later, he brought me 40,000. I thought I would not be able to spend this except in a year. Well, it took me almost 8 days. Wasted. People are in need. And when you know and verify the need of the people and you give it to them, you'll find that your levels of iman are skyrocketing. Why? Because you're helping people and Allah Azza wa Jal is rewarding you. And finally, and this by itself requires a lecture, one of the best things you can spend your time in after reciting the Quran is learning the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You cannot help it. Wallahi, I cannot help it. I've taught the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam so many times in Arabic and in English. In Huda TV, you find a long series until the Battle of Hunayn. In Arabic, I've finished it twice or three times. In Zad TV, I've finished a number of different topics on the Prophet alayhi salam, especially Shama'il. The story I know by heart. But whenever I go through it and read it, wallahi, I cannot hold my tears. The stories of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you feel so emotional. You cannot camouflage it. You cannot hide it. You cannot fake it, even if you're on your own. When you read his suffering, when you read his love to Khadija, Allahu Akbar. A necklace that Khadija gave to Zainab, her eldest daughter. Khadija is long dead. Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi', the husband of Khadija, who was still with her in Mecca before the separation between Muslims and non-Muslims was obliged, he was captured. So the Prophet requested ransom. She sent from Mecca the necklace. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he saw the necklace, he felt and remembered the love he had for Khadija. And he asked the people if they were to let him go for his sake, and they said, yes, we accept that. And he returned him to Mecca with the necklace. A story like this, you read it hundreds of times, but whenever you read it again or say it, you cannot but feel the love the Prophet had for Khadija. You cannot control yourself. The more you read the seerah, you will find your iman is being increased. The more you read the events that took place in the life of the Prophet والسلام, you cannot hold yourself back. You have this great love for him and you want to be with him in Jannah. This boost of iman is required. The more you learn, the more you get benefits. Also, if you read the life story of the companions, of Abu Bakr, of Umar, of Uthman, of Ali, of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, of Abd al-Rahman ibn Zubayr, of Abu Ubaidah, Amr ibn Jarrah, of Talha ibn Ubaidillah, or all these great companions, Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl, and so on, you get close to them. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, may Allah have mercy on his soul, was known to be Amirul Mu'mineen in Hadith. He's not a companion, but he was one of the great scholars of Islam. His companion said, why after praying Isha, you don't sit with us? He said, what do I sit with you for? You backbite Muslims. I go and sit with the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. I go in my home, I read their life stories, I read their biography, and I get more iman. So this is some of the issues, some of the points, and it's only the tip of an iceberg. So many things that would increase your iman, but you have to work in order to get your iman increased. It's good lecture, Shaykh. Jazakallah khair. Beautiful points. How many will we implement? Will we be able to at least do the obligatory things and get closer to Allah with voluntary things? Would we inject in our daily routine one juz' of the Quran? Will we be able to pray night prayer? Will we be able to quit listening to haram music or watch haram things and occupy ourselves with Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah? Would we be able to invite others and frequently attend lectures and circles of knowledge? If we succeed, then definitely inshallah we will find the difference between before and after in terms of iman. هذا والله أعلم ونسبة العلم إليه أسلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.